ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Harmani cha jata alam jata desham jata alam jatu citam jata itam akorod brahma sat kritam harmani cha jata kalam jata desham jata balam jato chitam jata bitam akarod brahma satritam kamani cha jata kalam jata desham jata balam jato chitam jata bitam akara brahma satritam kamani cha jata kalam jata desham jata balam jato chitam jata bitam akara brahma satritam kamani cha jata kalam yata desham yata balam yato citam yata hitam akaro brahma satritam kamani cha yata kalam yata desham yata balam yato citam yata hitam akaro brahma satritam karmani cha jata kalam jata desham jata balam jato citam jata bitam akaro brahma satritam karmani cha jata kalam jata desham jata balam jato citam jata hitam akaro brahma satritam karmani cha jata kalam jata desham jata balam yato hitam jata hitam akaro brahma satritam karmani activities cha also jata kalam befitting time and circumstances jata desham befitting the place and situation. Jata balam, befitting one's own strength. Jata uchitam, as far as possible. Jata bitam, as far as one can spend money in this connection. Akrod, performed. Brahma sat, in the absolute truth. Kritam, did. Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, Vaisharanarabhinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Being well satisfied, Maharaj Prithu executed his duties as perfectly as possible, according to the time and his situation, strength and financial position. His only aim in all of his activities was to satisfy the absolute truth. In this way, he duly acted. Please repeat. Being self-satisfied, Maharaj Prithu executed his duties as perfectly as possible. According to the time and his situation, strength and financial position. His only aim in all activities was to satisfy the absolute truth. In this way, he duly acted. Maharaj Prithu was a responsible monarch, and he had to execute the duties of a Kshatriya, a king, and a devotee at the same time. Being perfect in the Lord's devotional service, he could execute his prescribed duties with complete perfection, as befitted the time and circumstance, and his financial strength and personal ability. In this regard, the word karmani in this verse is significant. Prithu Maharaj's activities were not ordinary, for they were in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rupa Goswami has advised that things that are favorable to devotional service should not be rejected. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore advised that things which are favorable to devotional service should not be rejected, nor should activity favorable for devotional service be considered ordinary work or fruitive activity. For example, an ordinary worker conducts business in order to earn some money for his sense gratification. A devotee may perform the same work in exactly the same way, but his aim is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Consequently, his activities are not ordinary. Prithu Maharaj's activities were therefore not ordinary, but were all spiritual and transcendental, for his aim was to satisfy the Lord. Just as Arjuna, who was a warrior, had to fight to satisfy Krishna, Prithu Maharaj performed his royal duties as a king for the satisfaction of Krishna. Indeed, whatever he did as the emperor of the whole world was perfectly befitting a pure devotee. So here, Prithu Maharaj is giving very good advice for everyone. He was self-satisfied, and he executed his duties perfectly as possible according to the time, his situation, strength, and financial position. So everyone can act like this and attain their perfection, like Prithu Maharaj. Lots of devotees asked, actually just 2 days ago someone was asking me that. The same question, you know, what to do? They have so much service, they don't enough help, and what should they give some service up? How can they manage? But here, Prithu Maharaj is a good example. And you should perform your duties according to the time and the situation, strength and financial position. So there should be a time for everything. The devotees often say, well, I'm not getting time to read, I'm not getting time to chant. But here, Prithu Maharaj, he's according to time and circumstances. So you have to have your time. Time for hearing, time for chanting, time for all of your services. This is the idea of sadhana, regulation. Everything is, you have your a little bit of time for everything. And therefore, Prabhupada says, one becomes satisfied simply by doing this. Rupa Goswami also says one shouldn't take on more service than he can handle. Often we see this is that devotees get overburdened with service and even though they may have created the service and, you know, they were enthusiastic to do it, but after some time they don't have that enthusiasm or strength to continue it. So Rupa Goswami says, don't take on too much service that you can't handle, otherwise you'll begin to condemn, oh, I've got too much work, I've got too much service, processes, I'm not getting happy, the processes are not good. So one shouldn't overburden himself with work, although devotional service is glorious. But one should know his limitations and act according to that. So the whole day can be, you can have a time for everything according to your limitation. So Maharaj Priti was a king. He had a lot of resources, financial resources especially, being the king. So he adjusted everything according to his ability. He was a powerful king. He adjusted. If he needed, he could go and conquer some enemy to expand his kingdom. But he was satisfied, so he didn't really need to do that. But he knew his strength. He probably wouldn't attack a kingdom where the very powerful king was there. He thought he may lose. So he knew his limitations. So it's very good advice. The king is doing it, so we can do it also on a smaller scale. We have our daily schedule. But this way, at least you can become very peaceful. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had a very, very tight schedule. But he had a time for everything. They sent a spy to him once, the British Raj. He was a magistrate in Puri. But he knew, because he knew Manu's law very well, so he could easily come to a conclusion, quickly come to the correct conclusion, because he knew the law of Manu, the law of mankind. This is what. So immediately he would come to the conclusion, okay, next one please. And he would judge them, next one, next one, next one. And all the British people were amazed, you know, they're the big lawyers. And how come he's getting through these cases so quick, it takes us days to get through, and he's just one after another, one after another. Because he knew how people should act, what should do and what not should do. He was very innovative also. He caught the thief. And he said, I'm going to give you this punishment, but you have an option. You can do this punishment, or you can just sit down in front of my deities and chant Hare Krishna every day for some hours every day. So the thief said, oh, I'll sit down in front of your deities and chant. So he chanted. But he still didn't maintain that even. The thief ran away. So Bhaktivinoda caught him again. He could bend according to time and circumstance also. They send a spy to him. See what he's doing. And so they send a spy, and then the spy was there, and he saw, you know, he took rest quite early. Or I can't remember exactly. The schedule is actually printed up in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life story. He would even take a glass of milk and a couple of parties, and then he could take rest for a few hours. He could get up at night time and do different translations and japa again. Morning he would take something else, I think maybe the same thing, glass of milk and a couple of two parties, and take a little bit of rest, you know, like about 20 minutes or something. And then he would do his ablutions and take a... Then he'd go to the office about exactly on time, finish and come back for lunch, and then go back to the office again, and then finish on time and come back. It was very, very regulated, and the spy went back and he reported, it's quite amazing, you know. he's full on, fully absorbed in what he's doing, you know. And so when he went to the court, he just gave his attention to the court for that time. It was his duty, he had to do his duty. But so he had time for everything. He became happy. Srila Prabhupada also. Same thing, exact. Very strict schedule. Same time waking up in the morning. Prabhupada was in Mayapur. He's in living in a hut. There's no running water. There's no electricity. There's no facilities whatsoever. And he's just coming from, you know, Los Angeles or New York or something like that. Exactly the same schedule. Gets up the same time. Puts his mosquito in there, lights the kerosene lamp, gets a chai rider because there's no electricity for his dictaphone, does his purports, goes out for his morning walk, exactly, comes back exactly the same time. amazing. You will come back for the darshan, because, you know, it's all like flat rice fields. There's no proper paths everywhere, but sometimes you walk up the road, there is a path there. Sometimes you go over that, across the field to Tarampur. Sometimes you go down to the Ganga, where there's no proper path. But somehow or another, you always come back exactly the right time for the darshan, come back exactly on time. So regulated. And look at the books that just started pouring out, pouring out, pouring. Who can do that? You know, it's amazing what he did. Just the books alone, that's amazing. You know, what to speak of managing a worldwide society with people calling on you all the time, got this problem, got this problem. But Prabhupada just went through it kind of, you know, kind of very naturally. Padmalochan Prabhupada used to tell me, because when he was living in Vrindavan, Padmalochan used to get up really early in the morning, also about 12 o'clock. And then he was chant.
True.
So he said, my room, I could see into Prabhupada's room. He was in another building. And he said, Prabhupada, would you know, he'd get up and he'd do his translation work and he's speaking to the dictaphone and he put it down. He said he was completely unhurried, you know. And again, he'd pick up the dictaphone. See a few books. He said, Padma says, you know, it just seemed really, really slow and unhurried. He said, but the books just were coming like anything. He said, I was completely amazed how, you know, the books are just pouring out, and Prabhupada just seemed to be doing it a little bit every night. But it's a fact, you see, in their lifestyle, they accomplish so much, so great things. And just gave a little bit of time every day to the same things. So, this is very good advice that anyone can take. Prithu Maharaj is actually advising his citizens, and in his advice to the citizens, he says, Prithu Maharaj, advise his citizens, engaging your minds, your words, and your bodies, and the results of your occupational duties, and always being open-minded, you should render all devotional service to the Lord according to your abilities and the occupations in which you are situated. You should engage your service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full confidence and without reservation. Then you will surely be successful in achieving the final object of your lives. So this is the ideal king, Prithu Maharaj, where he's glorified. This is the advice he's giving to his subjects, his devotional service. Perform your prescribed duties, perform your activities, but do it for me, remembering to do it according to my Krishna's instructions. So this is Devi Varnashram. This is what Prithu Maharaj is teaching. Be always absorbed in your duty, whatever your duty is, but conscious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and carrying out for his satisfaction. So, he's talking of the about activity or karma. Karma, we know, means work. And the reactions that we get from work. So, it says pretty much, he had to execute the duties of a Kshatriya and the king and the devotee all at the same time. So, here is the art of work. We all have to do something in this material world and simultaneously be a devotee. So, Prabhupada's given this example. And he said, an ordinary worker conducts business in order to earn money for his sense gratification. And a devotee may perform the work in exactly the same way. But his aim is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Consequently, his activities are not ordinary. So, two people working side by side, they're doing exactly the same work. And one is ordinary and one is not ordinary, but they appear exactly to be doing the same work. But because the consciousness behind the work is what's important. see Prithvi Maharaj is a king, he's acting like a king, and he's a Kshatriya and a devotee. So he's doing all things at the same time. So, but the Kshatriya aspect, the king aspect, that's not his identity is not fixed on. His identity is fixed on as the devotee aspect. He's a devotee of Krishna first, so his consciousness is fixed on it. Then he's acting as a Kshatriya, he's acting as a king. But his consciousness is fixed on his being a devotee. Prabhupada said one lecture here actually in Mayapur. Well, they bring in Harisori and Satsrup Maharaj. Talking about Varnashram and Harisori saying Prabhu, because Prabhupada was saying not everybody, it doesn't mean everybody has to become a Brahmana. It's for Prabhupada. You know, we join, we get in first initiation, and then a few months later or a couple of years later we get second initiation. So who wants to be a Sudra? Prabhupada said, no, you're not Sudra. You're not even Brahmana, you're above Brahmana actually, a Vaishnava. Then he said, just like a king on a stage, you're acting. A man is acting as a king on a stage. He's not a king, but he's acting very perfectly as a king. He said, so similarly like that. He said, Vaishnava is above a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or a Sudra. But you're acting, you act like a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. So that's the act, but the identity that I'm Krishna, so that is reality. That will never change. Your act's going to change anyway. As you change your body, you're going to change your body, you can change your acts, you're going to change. But what doesn't change is Nitya Krishna Das. So the Prithvi Maharaj's consciousness is fixed on Krishna. In all of his activities, he's recommending that everybody should remember Krishna in all of their activities. So we can see these two people are working side by side. One is working for his sense gratification, one is working for the satisfaction of Krishna. They're doing exactly the same thing, they look exactly the same. So why isn't the reaction the same? So, Newton's third law, for every action there is an opposite reaction. So karma is not so much the activity, it's not so much the work, but it's the consciousness behind it. That's what's going to cause a reaction, depending on your consciousness. The man working for sense gratification, then he has to get a reaction for that. He gets his money, he goes out and spends it on sense gratification, so he gets a reaction for that. The devotee gets his money, but he goes back and he spends it on Krishna. So there's no reaction, the karma stops at that point. Because he doesn't follow it through on the karma plan. He offers everything to Krishna, there your karma stops, so he's not creating any new karma. But the man performing sense gratification with the fruits of his work, he's creating more karma, so he's bound up all the time in the cycle of birth and death. Whereas the devotee, he stops his karma. How? By offering the result to Krishna. Then there is no more reaction to come back. So in this way, all of the karma gets cleared up. And so Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita the same thing. There's no work that affects me. There is no work that affects me. I'm not like ordinary people. Why? Because I'm not working for myself like everyone else. Everyone else in this world is working for themselves, their own satisfaction. He said, but I'm not like that. I don't need anything. Why should I work for myself? I've got everything. So I work for others. That is my business. When I come here, I'm working for others. I'm establishing pure religion. I'm kicking out your religion. I'm giving the yoga dharmas. I work for others. So therefore, I'm free. Because there's no karmic reaction coming. I'm not enjoying the results of my activities like ordinary people. Therefore, I'm free. Now, Arjuna, if you understand this truth about me, you'll become as free as me. If you work for others, not for yourself, this is Vaishnava. The example given is the spider on the web. He makes the web, and the spider is running all over the web. And all the mosquitoes and flies, they come, they get stuck on that web. That's the karmic web. So, this is like Krishna comes, he spins this material world, manifests this material world. Then he comes and he acts freely. He's not. Everyone else in the material world is bound. They're stuck. They get stuck on the web. But Krishna, he doesn't get stuck. But everyone else is stuck. So how the devotees don't get stuck? Oh, it's just like the spider. And they has all the baby spiders, and they all come out. They run all over the web. They don't get stuck. They're enjoying it. It's happy. It's a nice situation. Natural. So, like father, like son, we become like Krishna. We shouldn't be enjoying the results of our work. We don't work for ourselves, we can work for others. Then you become as free as Krishna. You don't get bound up, stuck on the web. There's no more karmic reaction to coming. So this Priti Maharaj is instructing his citizens to act like this. Then they'll all become free. So this is ideal king, interested in others, going back to Godhead. So he understands the message of Godhead. And so he's going back. So, working for others means never forgetting. Working for others means always remembering Krishna. And when you're working for yourself, it means never forget Krishna. So, in other words, it becomes more spontaneous. When we're working for ourselves, it's more selfish motivation. But when we are working for others, then we don't have that selfish motivation. So then work becomes, everything becomes more spontaneous. So that is always remembering Krishna. We work for ourselves. Even in devotional service, we have so many things we want for ourselves. And not pure devotional service. So then we have to regulate our lives. So that's never forgetting Krishna. We have to perform activities so we can remember Krishna. But if we can come to this platform of working for others instead of ourselves, that is the spontaneous, more spontaneous platform of always remembering Krishna. So here Priti Maharaj was he's met the Kumaras. He met Vishnu. Personally, he met Vishnu. He was very overwhelmed when he met him. He was feeling great ecstasy to see the Lord. And he couldn't speak to the Lord. He was so choked up. And then finally he could speak some faltering words out of his affection for the Lord. We see Kapila Muni also in his talking about the yogic system, how the yogi also comes to that stage of seeing the super soul within his heart. He's also feeling ecstasies. He's showing more symptoms of ecstasy. So what is the difference? Priti Maharaj is seeing Vishnu, he's seeing him outside. The yogi is seeing him inside. There's no difference inside and outside. He has they're both feeling ecstasy. The yogi is described by Kapila Muni. All the symptoms of ecstasy are coming by seeing the super soul. And Priti Maharaj also is feeling all the symptoms of ecstasy. So, the difference is that The yogi, he's enjoying that ecstasy. He's enjoying that relationship. It's Shanta Rasa. But Prithvi Maharaj, now he's doing service for the Lord. His service is to train all the citizens up in Krishna consciousness. So this Dasaras, so this is actually more favorable. This Krishna prefers this. He's actually rendering service. He's coming forward to render service. So then the relationship can begin. This is what Krishna really wants. Whereas a yogi, he's appreciating the great quality of the Lord and the ecstasy that's coming from the Lord, and he's really enjoying that. But there's no real question of serving the Lord at the moment there. But the goal is the same. The goal of the Sangha Yogi, in Kapila Muni's description, after all, the Eightfold System top is Samadhi, absorption in the Supreme. So the yogi is absorbed in the Supreme, seeing the Paramatma, feeling next to him. Prithvi Maharaj, the yogi is aloof from the material world. Because he is sitting in a lonely place, quiet place, doing all his practice and meditation. He's in ecstasy. Prithvi Maharaj is dealing with the world. He's completely the opposite. He's dealing directly with the world. He has to go out. So he doesn't appear to be aloof. The yogi, he's aloof, so he's getting... But Prithvi Maharaj, he's dealing with the world, but he's dealing with him in relation to Krishna. He's seeing everything in relation to Krishna. And he's training his citizens to use and see everything in relation to Krishna. So this is actually... he's more advanced because he's come to the stage of Dasaras. There is some relationship with Krishna. The yogi practically has no relationship. Shantaras. It's great, right? Enjoying the Lord's presence. But Prithu, he's doing the order of the Lord, because the Lord has come for this purpose to take everyone back. So even though we get these differences, but doing the same kind of work, but there are differences. The yogi, that's the last thing he can do is to go in the world and mix with people and things like that. He can't do that. He has to be alone and in seclusion. But we can see when Krishna is everything used in Krishna's service, then that becomes even more superior than getting ecstasy, experiencing ecstasy from the from being in association with the Lord. So the yogi is samadhi. His final goal is samadhi. Samadhi means absorption in the Supreme. So he's absorbed in it. He has samadhi. Prithvi Maharaj, he's also absorbed in the Supreme. But he's doing all kind of worldly work, managing the kingdom. But he's always absorbed thinking of Krishna. So Krishna is the Supreme. So he's doing his work for Krishna. Therefore he's absorbed in the Supreme. So that's his samadhi. One time Prabhupada said, actually, there's another stage beyond samadhi. He said, that is preaching. So Prithvi Maharaj is actually a preacher because he's training all of his citizens to become devotees. Anyway, it's more of a purport now. Indeed, whatever Prithvi did as an emperor of the whole world was perfectly befitting a pure devotee. It is therefore said by Vaishnava poet, Vaishnavra Kriya Mudra Vigye Na Bujhaya. No one can understand the activities of a pure devotee. A devotee's activities may appear like ordinary activities, but behind them there is a profound significance. What is that significance? The satisfaction of the Lord. In order to understand the activities of a Vaishnava, one has to become very expert. There were some reporters, they come to meet Prabhupada once. And they started to ask him questions. So immediately Prabhupada went to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's the Supreme Person of Godhead. And they said, no, Swamiji, we want to know about you, because we have just been to see some other guru, Guru Maharaj. Another famous guru at that time. And they were making some report on different gurus. We have just been to see this Guru Maharaj. Now we have come to see you. But you're talking about Krishna. We want to know about you. And Prabhupada said, that is not so easy. So to understand the pure devotee is not easy. Prabhupada kind of laughed when he said it. We want to understand about you, and Prabhupada laughed. He said, that is also not so easy. So it's difficult to understand the Vaishnavas. Because of their... We're accustomed to dealing with ourselves and with people in terms of gaining something, but Krishna has nothing to gain and his devotees have nothing. Therefore, it's very difficult to understand or estimate the activities of the devotees. Prithu Maharaj did not allow himself to function outside the institution of the four Varnas and four Ashramas. Although, as a Vaishnava, he was a Paramahamsa, transcendental to all material activities. He remained at his position as a Kshatriya to rule the world, and at the same time remained transcendental to activities by satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Concealing himself as a pure devotee, he externally manifested himself as a very powerful and dutiful king. In other words, none of his activities were carried out for his own sense gratification. Everything he did was meant for the satisfaction of the senses of the Lord. This is clearly explained in the next verse. So here, Prithu Maharaj, it said he didn't function outside the institution of the four Varnas and Ashrams. He didn't function outside of that. Why he didn't do that? He mentions he's a Paramahamsa. We are aspiring to become out of this identification of Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. We are aspiring to come out of those. But Prithu Maharaj is already self-satisfied. He said he didn't go outside of that, those four Varnas and Ashrams. So this is an ideal preacher. He set any example for others to bring them up to this platform. But he himself was already above this platform, and so he was acting to set the example for others. So this is Prithu Maharaj's preaching here. It's great preachers, but he was not affected by it. It's the same example Prabhupada gave. He was a king. He wasn't acting as a king. He was a king, although that's also another act. But in this lifetime, he was a king. He was a king, but still he was acting as a king to set example for others. And Prabhupada also said the same thing in that lecture. He said, no, you're not, he says, just an actor, you're playing a part of a king on a stage, you're not the king, but you're acting as a king. He says, similarly, you act, he said, as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, etc. He said, otherwise, who will follow? How will they follow? So you set the example. Otherwise, how will everyone else know? So you set an example. So you act in such conditions of life. So you can establish Varnashram and show people. But you act. Otherwise, nobody will know. But simultaneously, the consciousness is fixed on its true identity as the eternal servant of Krishna. So. Here Prithu Maharaj, of course, he's thinking of Krishna with affection, so this is very important. When you have affection for Krishna, it's easy to always remember. In fact, it hurts to take your mind off Krishna or remembrance of Krishna when you so that is the natural constitution of the living entity, to always be thinking of the Lord out of affection. And he had that sweet relationship. When Vishnu came to him, the Lord, he said he was very affectionate to Prithu also, because of his being such a wonderful king. He's God on earth, he's doing God's work. the king is like a god, he's got enough because he is doing that. So naturally, Vishnu was very, very satisfied with him. And he was very affectionate, he says. So much so that he kind of put his feet on the ground. Usually Vishnu never touches the ground. He floats above the ground because the material world is not anything like Vaikuntha. So he doesn't touch the ground. But out of affection for Prithu Maharaj, I want to be one of you, be one with you. I want to be like you, like Prabhupada. He touched the ground. He said, but he had to put one hand on Garuda in case because he wasn't accustomed to walking on the ground. He may be unsteady. So he steadied himself. It was out of affection, actually. He touched the ground. So the affection is the important thing in all these relationships. When one gets affection, then everything becomes, Krishna consciousness becomes easier. It starts becoming very enjoyable when there is that. When we have developed affection. So Prithu Maharaj, he has this affection. So this is why Krishna is always saying, man mana bhava man bhakto. This is how we should do our work. First think of Krishna, then do what you do. The Kama Yogis, they'll do their activity, then they'll offer the result to Krishna. But the devotees, they should first remember Krishna. Man mana bhava man. First you remember me, become my devotee, offer him. First, everything you do, first you remember Krishna. This activity is for the satisfaction of Krishna. Then we can like this, we're learning to understand what we're doing with affection, it's for Krishna. So rather than remembering Krishna at the end of the activity, we remember Krishna before, and in the middle also, and also at the end. But in this way we can, because sometimes we find we're just working and we kind of lose sight of everything. But if before we start any activity, we remember Krishna, oh, this activity is for the satisfaction of Krishna. Then we can picture Krishna, and then we do the activity. And then, so this is the way we can, it helps to become feel closer, more closer to Krishna. And Prabhupada is pointing out again in purple, and this has been stressed a few times, even in this verse. His only aim in all of his activities was to satisfy the absolute truth. In this way, he duly acted. So Prabhupada says that a pure devotee's activities may appear like ordinary activities, but behind them is a profound significance and the satisfaction of the Lord. So this is very profound significant, the satisfaction of the Lord. We should always be trying to understand whatever we do, we're doing for the satisfaction. So this is fundamental. We should always understand the fundamental principles of everything, of everything, and especially the process of devotional service. And understand that Krishna is behind everything. It's profound significance, the satisfaction of the Lord. Why is it so profound? Why the satisfaction of the Lord? Because if we get back to the fundamental basics, this is the purpose of our existence in the world. God is one and he becomes many for his pleasure. Bahusham. He's become many, we're the many, so we are the parts of God for his pleasure. This is the purpose. We're asking for his pleasure, because he wants to have a relationship. He wants to expand his pleasure. So our existence of being is to expand Krishna's pleasure. That is why we're existing. So this is the fundamental root, the root of our very being. So it's when we understand this, that our business is simply to expand Krishna's pleasure and we act in such a way, then everything becomes very profound. It has the profound significance. Is the satisfaction of the Lord. So this is why we are doing everything. And this is actually our only ambition in life. It should be. Because that is the whole purpose of our existence. So, so we have the greatest philosophy here because we have the greatest speaker of the philosophy, Krishna. And so Krishna is telling us very clearly, so we should always hold these, you know, these fundamental, profound roots. Should not forget these things. Everybody in the world is asking, well, when they get a bit inquisitive, why? Comes the first question, why? They want to start knowing things. What is the purpose of the life? Beginning inquisitive purpose of life. So that we just explained. The purpose is Krishna's satisfaction, Krishna's pleasure. That is why he's manifested. So, yeah, the devotee understands all these things. So, who am I? Nobody knows, the Krishna says. Kim tat Raman kirat, kim adi atma, what is Brahman, what is the self, Arjuna Raman? Krishna says, no, the living entity is Brahman. That's why, who am I? You are Brahman, I'm Brahmasmi. And his eternal nature is called the self, self-realization. I am eternal. So immediately these questions become answered. Who am I? What is the purpose of life? What is the absolute truth? Paratatman yat kinchit asti tananjaya. There is no truth superior to me. You're searching for the absolute truth, many truths in this world, but you're searching for the absolute truth. When you come to that truth, there's nothing beyond it. That is the absolute truth. So Krishna says, there is no truth superior to me. The absolute truth. So now we know what the absolute truth is. Nothing superior to it. And why we are also parts of that absolute truth, what is our function? Is satisfaction, to serve within satisfaction. So the whole world is asking these questions for you since time immemorial. But the devotees have the answer. Because Krishna has revealed the answer to them. So we should always keep these topics, the fundamental topics of, you know, what we're supposed to be doing. What is my existence in this material world? Where am I? Where are we? What is our goal? Where are we going to? So then we understand that everything is actually for the satisfaction of. That is a profound significance. Then your life becomes significant, profoundly significant. Everything you do becomes profoundly significant. Because it's for the satisfaction of the Lord. Jai Shri Mahabhagatam ki, Jai Shri Shri Maharaj ki, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhakta Bindu ki, Jai Gaur Premanam ki, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any comment?
Hare Krishna. I have two related questions. The first is, since Srila Prabhupada had so many things he was doing and so many different projects, each in themselves so ambitious, how was he not hurried? How was he able to not be hurried in what he did? You could just, whatever insight you have into that consciousness, that, like, he's a juggler, you know, he's juggling so many things, but it's so expert, so he's not hurried.
No, he's not. See, everyone in this world is pushed by time. So the pure devotee is not actually under that same situation. He's under the control of the divine energy. So that's all kind of just very natural. The material world is unnatural. We're being pushed and we don't know what to do, what to do, what not to do. But one is under the divine energy, then he gets the direct dictation from Krishna inside. So it becomes easy, anyone he talks to, you've got the perfect answer to the question. And naturally he's attractive because of the presence of the Lord. So he's unrushed.
Okay, and the second question is related to what you mentioned early on in the class about knowing our limitations and not trying to overextend ourselves. I'm just remembering different examples of instructions that Srila Prabhupada gave that seemed like totally impossible for disciples to carry out. So it seems like from those examples there are times when it's appropriate to just totally put aside the very idea of limitation. So I'm also kind of having trouble reconciling those.
So in emergency then you're expected to be beyond and above the call of duty, you should go. And actually our society is like that. We should, because it isn't an emergency situation. But for people in general, and the citizens of the state, it's been ruled nicely, it's peaceful under Prithu Maharaj. So generally that is the rule, that they'll be satisfied and you do what you can handle. But of course we find in Krishna consciousness that people do go above and beyond. It's a fact. For preaching we will do that sometimes, but you know, sometimes you cannot maintain so much pushing. We've seen also like that. They do so much. But it's good that we can do that. Guru Kripa Prabhu, he was a big collector. He built most of these buildings here from Japanese Zen, I think. Japanese yen. But anyway, he gave Srila Prabhupada, I think, $60,000 or something like that. And Prabhupada said, very good. He said, you should give me this every month or something. And Prabhupada said, Guru Prabhupada said, but Srila Prabhupada, you know what this took? We were 16 hours a day on the road. And Prabhupada said, oh, only 16? I thought our process was 24. So even Prabhupada push sometimes. But anyway, everybody has a limitation. But it's good, we are pushed. We do push in this camp, but we have to push because we have to get there. It's an emergency situation. But don't get pushed right off the end. Don't roll off the end of the...
I want to ask about working for Krishna and working for own sense gratification. How is it a process to change consciousness from working for sense gratification to working for Krishna, or it's just a sudden shift of consciousness?
It's a sudden shift of consciousness because we never even heard of Krishna all of a sudden. Krishna, Krishna service, Hare Krishna, whole day, it's all of a sudden. So it's a shift. Shift the transcendental realization, that may not come spontaneously, immediately. But so therefore we're advised to, you know, work in the process of sadhana bhakti. So this is, we can't always remember Krishna, so never forget Krishna. I say, how do you never forget Krishna? So rise up early in the morning, take bath, go to Mangalaki, all these activities to help you never forget Krishna. So if we don't do that, then it, we won't change our consciousness. But by doing that daily, then we'll change our consciousness. But Prabhupada, he talks about this change consciousness, he said, especially when we're regulated, this whole process of sadhana helps us to change consciousness. But it's a slower process, because we've forgotten our spontaneous service, which is already there anyway, but it's covered. So the other process is a little bit slow. Due to our reluctance to accept it, or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Tagore's term, willfully withholding. We're willfully withholding. But anyway, the idea is that the example is Prabhupada gives is that when you're very regulated, then you can spot the impure consciousness when it comes in the form of a weed. You do the same thing every day. If you don't do the same thing every day, you're here and there, you're doing your service or anything, but you're doing it here and there. When you know how the mind is always thinking, things are coming in the mind, things are going out. So you don't spot it, because everything is different and new. You're here, you're there, you're doing something different, you're doing new. So you don't see how the things are coming and going. But when you're regulated, you do the same thing every day. Now it's time for this, now it's time for that, now it's time for that. And you're fixed in that, then you can actually see. Something's coming in your mind, it shouldn't be there. It shouldn't be there at this time. This time it should be just this. This is my focus, my attention. So then Prabhupada said, then you can spot the weed, and then you can pick it up. Like the weeds that are coming, choking the bhakti like a pigeon. But if you're not regulated, you won't spot them. It'd be very difficult. So that's the beauty of sadhana, which has been given by Srila Prabhupada, Rupa Goswami. They don't practice sadhana themselves. They're on a different platform. But they're not so foolish to give us a process that doesn't work. So they're saying, if you can't spontaneously remember Krishna, adopt this process of Vedi Sadhana Bhakti and become very regulated. So that works. The more sincere, then the quicker we move on that path.
Because there are two paths to Krishna, sadhana bhakti and bhava bhakti. Is it the same for bhava bhakti? Are they also regulated?
If they're on the platform bhava bhakti, then not the same. If they're practicing sadhana, they have bhava bhakti and sadhana also. Then that's the same for them. They should be very regulated and reasonable. The practice of love, that is mostly hearing and chanting whole day, that's all you do practically. Yes?
We hear about the importance of living in the dam, like here we are in Mayapur Dam. So, but many devotees come and then go, and we see that there are devotees who stay in the dam, no? And not benefit themselves only, but benefit everyone who come. So what is the secret to be able to remain serving in the dam?
Material world is very scary. That's a good reason. Another good reason, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you're sincerely, those who are sincerely searching for love of Godhead, they will find their resting place in Sri Mayapur Dham. That's a good motivation. There's no place better than Mayapur in the world. Is there? Except China. And you're preaching in China. Preaching is beyond that. Living at the Ambash. Preaching is taking it beyond. You have to ask Maharaj. More. Sacrifice preachers are making. Anyway, Sri Mayapur Dhamma is invented for the living entities of Kali Yuga to take shelter of. That's why it's here. So you can take shelter or you cannot take shelter. Just to take shelter. The other places are closing. It's difficult to take shelter then. Mayapur is expanding. So it's easier to take shelter.